Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, when we left you last month, we left you hanging where Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and everybody arrived on a boat here in Kansas City. After forming this cult years earlier, they had traveled all over from Arkansas to Oklahoma, up to Canada, and now they got on a boat in the Missouri River, they floated down, and they ended up here in Kansas City. And I guess, Diane, the fun is just beginning with the Adam God cult as they arrive here in our town in the early 1900s.
Oh, boy. We were lucky to have them. I'm sure.
Yes, we were.
So lucky. God, I'm so glad the story really unfolded here. This is not stuff that we're proud of in our history, for sure. Yeah. So November 1908, they arrive in a houseboat, tie up on the Missouri. I'm even going to say it because this is the Missouri River for sure, right by the Hannibal Bridge. And then they get off the boat and, you know, of course, what are you going to do if you're a cult? You're obviously going to beg on the streets because that's how you're going to make your money.
Right.
So by December, this is starting to look a little suspicious. And the other thing is that they recognized the kids that were involved in this begging, which they'd sing on the street corner and, you know, with the hat out and all this. They were recognized because they had been in Kansas City just a year or so earlier and been told they have to go to school. And Dad didn't want to send them to school. So what happens is a juvenile court officer, okay, happens by right before, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, happens by some singing unkempt children ranging between the ages of 3 and 14. And there's a woman with them and they're begging for, you know, money. And I love that that they decided to do this like steps away from the courthouse. they didn't even mean for it to be anything else but that. So there's that, you know, of course the guy goes, why are you not in school? And, you know, the woman who happens to be Melissa, and she is Eve, for to keep people straight on who's who, it's Melissa's, Eve is with them, and she's got a 13-year-old girl named Lulu there with her, 12-year-old Lena, 11-year-old Mary. They're all the Pratt kids. So there's three of the five Pratt kids are there. And then Charles Engel, who's this epileptic kid from Montana, who's part of their cult. And she starts screaming at him and runs away, takes the kids and, you know, goes back to where they're, this boarding house area where she gets Adam God, AKA her husband.
Right.
You know, he opens up the door and he's screaming at this guy and he's, you know, ends up hitting this juvenile court officer over the head with a rifle. And then, of course, like the kids start scratching at him. Sorry. The kids start scratching at him and it's just this hot train wreck mess. And so the guy runs off and he goes straight to the police station. It's near City Hall. And it's like, some crazy stuff's happening over here.
You got to get down here.
Got to get down here ASAP. And so the best part is the cult follows him. The cult follows him and stands outside of the courthouse and starts singing. And the entire area of the around the courthouse starts clearing out of the way. Why, you ask? Because they're all carrying guns, including the children. So that's not great. And it's like an afternoon. Now it's 4 o'clock. It's like an afternoon. The businesses, the heart of downtown Kansas City. We're talking 4th and Main.
Right. Right. That's right. The center of downtown. I mean, you can't get any more downtown center of the city than 4th and Main.
And you are really thinking out things ahead of time if you're going to do this in front of City Hall.
Right.
So they start singing and all of this. And he's, you know, Adam God's there and he's not hiding the fact that he's got a gun. And so essentially they end up, you know, in the circle, and there's a 34-year-old policeman named Albert Dalbo who goes up to him and he's like, I'm going to do this from the chill perspective. Like, I'm here for peace. What's going on? Why are you doing this, you psycho people? He didn't say that part, but then another policeman follows him and he notices that James Sharp's holding a knife in the other hand. Oh, like, great. And so the other policeman puts the gun up and, you know, says, drop the knife. Uh-huh. And it's James Sharp, of course. That didn't go over well with Adam, obviously. And so he fires at the police officer and grazes him in the left shoulder. Oh. So this is getting, so then James Sharp fires warning shots up in the air and the kids are going, wah! And so now everyone's shooting. Sorry, it's not
funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's like, it's almost like a shooting free for all. I mean, it's just like everybody is just firing at each other. And I'll be honest with you, Diane, I'm surprised there weren't more dead people from this thing, because this is like the most bizarre thing, especially back in the early 1900s. I mean, you got hit with a bullet back then. Where are you going? You're not going to the hospital to get that thing sewn up or anything like that. You're basically running around and bleeding out. And
yeah,
it's like crazy how many people did not die during this thing.
You're absolutely right. Honestly, I don't like to give you credit often. To be honest with you, I think that really the idea that they came with guns out, guns ablazing, they weren't hiding them. Can you imagine if those the kids and everything were hiding the guns? Mm-hmm. There would have been a lot more casualties, because people were like, oh, hell no. And they were running in different directions. So the crowd dispersed into alleyways and things like that. But you're right. Some people were like, what's happening? And by the time they realize it, it's too late. Yeah. So as, you know, James Sharp fires the warning shots in the air. Dalbo tries to get the gun from him, and that did not go over well. No. So Lewis Pratt, okay, with the kids, you know, his kids are all witnessing. He has to be a good role model. So he shoots at the officer, Dalbo. He shoots him 3 times. He hits him in the hip, the back, and the chest, and the guy dies 3 days later, or three minutes later. So a police officer is now dead. Shots are being fired everywhere into the crowd. One bullet went right through somebody's hat. So they didn't die, but their hat was through and through with a bullet. And this guy, he's 69 years old, a poor retired farmer, Andrew Seltzer, was downtown at City Hall paying his water bill, which if it's anything like today, that would be a very expensive errand to run.
Right.
And he's shot and he dies a couple of days later. So he's shot and killed. And then there's a 41-year-old police sergeant named Patrick Clark who didn't have his gun with him. He was like inside just hanging out with people. And when this happened, so he wasn't armed, and he ends up trying to tackle James Sharp, and James Sharp, essentially the officer gets shot in the shoulder, and then he gets stabbed with James Sharp's knife in his eye.
Right.
Bam, right into his eye. Survives, but is blind in that eye. And so an officer, because all this is happening outside the police station, so it's not like there's not a, you know, there's not a long wait. There's not a long response here. An officer in the upper floor of City Hall bashes out the window at City Hall and starts shooting down at the Colt. And he's a good shot. He hits Lewis Pratt square in the forehead and shoots him twice in the leg. They're pretty sure, and it's kind of hard, you know, it's not like I read the police report on this. I'm reading articles. So it's very hard to piece together, but that's pretty much what it figures happens.
Could you even find a police report from back then if you wanted to go back that far?
You could. It's not easy, but yeah. Yes, you can. It's easier to find prison records than it is to find police reports.
Oh, okay.
Prison records, I could talk all day about those. So kind of forget there's women and children also with guns.
Yeah.
Don't worry, they're shooting too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're out there going, they're up for the cause, right?
Oh, I mean 100%. But then when they see Lewis Pratt fall to the ground, you know, and one of the daughters did try to grab his gun, they have to hightail it. So they start running back toward the riverfront to get on the houseboat, mm-hmm. where their mom is waiting for them. I don't know why she's on there, but she's on there. So I don't know why she wasn't part of this. So Della Pratt, Lewis Pratt's wife, and like I said before, Lewis Pratt was shot 3 times. She is on the houseboat with her 8-year-old son, Dewey, and her 4-year-old daughter named Edna. And there's like 20 officers following them, and they surround the riverfront. And the kids actually did get, some of the kids got onto the houseboat. So they were able somehow to get on the houseboat. They capture Melissa. She's probably not a fast runner, is my guess. And so the kids are getting onto the houseboat, including Lulu, 13-year-old. And so as this is all happening, the officers are like, what do? We fire? There's kids there. Like, what do you do? And Melissa's got a shotgun. She's ready to go. You know, and then on the houseboat, you have guns still going there. And so Della, the mother of the children, she, you know, is saying, I won't come out until you free Eve, Melissa. And they're like, no, that's not really negotiable right now.
Right.
So anyway, the kids untie the skiff that's on the side of the boat and they jump in it. And so they're like, okay, this might be our chance, you know? And Della was trying to, she jumps in the river. It's December. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even imagine how cold that would be. So she jumps into the river, and the kids, there was like a cabin that was covered with like tarp, because that somebody slept there, of course, a mattress on the ground. And Lulu, the 13-year-old, hides in there with the gunfire. And so the police officers are shooting at the skiff and the houseboat, trying to sink it. So they're shooting low, because they're just going to try to shoot it and sink the boat. And unfortunately, they caught Lulu, and Lulu was shot right in her jaw, and she died. And when mom found out, because they of course capture everybody,
of course, yeah,
so when mom finds out, she's got her 11-year-old daughter Mary there, and no one sheds a tear. And Mary, the 11-year-old who just lost her 13-year-old sister, says, well, she's with God now.
Yeah. And that tells you like these folks were a little bit different, because even if you are as religious as some folks are and as religious as these people claim to have been doing this cult, somebody who's your sister, who's 2 years older than you and you're a kid, and they die, I would think the reaction would be a heck of a lot different than, well, she's with God now.
Right. Yeah. And it gets more disturbing with what we find out. Back in these days, when they would be put into the police station, believe it or not, they let reporters in too. So the reporters were right there taking down notes on what was happening. They were there when interrogation happened. So when they questioned the children and adults in the jail, the 11-year-old Mary, who I think is really she's something special. She said, Papa says this is a free country and we could carry firearms if we wanted to. A policeman is a serpent and he ought to be killed. The Constitution gives us that right. What?
Wow.
So
how old is this child again?
11.
11. Okay.
11. Can't read or write.
Right. But knows what the Constitution says and what she's able to do because of what dad told her.
Right. Yeah. So Lewis Pratt, her father, was in the hospital. They amputated his leg. The doctor was like, he's going to die. And by the way, Lewis Pratt, if you can believe this, he shot square in the head, was still able to talk.
Unbelievable.
And he shot in the head, still able to talk. And Lewis said, I want to live or die as the Lord wills. The Lord is with me. He guides me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's told his daughter, Lulu, is dead, he says, it was the Lord's way. And then, I mean, fortunately, he died a couple days later.
So. Right.
He's gone. But then what happened to Adam? You know, Adam didn't get arrested. So
nope.
What happened is in this whole mayhem, and I should point out, Adam God wore a very long beard, like Moses style, long hair, which would have been very out of place in 1908. So he's looking suspicious. So he escapes. He finds a barber shop, and he's been injured. By the way, he was shot right. In both of his hands. I can't believe out of all the places they shot him in his hands, but whatever. He was shot in both hands. He had 3 shattered fingers on one hand and a bullet stuck in the other.
That's so insane.
I know. So he has his hands lodged in his jacket pocket so the barber doesn't see he's bleeding profusely. So he says, give me a shave and all of this. And when he asked for the money, he's like, can you take it out of this pocket in my back pocket? Because he couldn't show his hands.
Right.
So, you know, when the barber asked, what's wrong? You know, he goes, oh, I froze my hands fishing.
Right. Which back then, I guess people were just a lot more gullible than now, because I would have been like, you're coming in, your hands are in your pockets. I'm not reaching into your back pocket to grab money. Right. Back then, you could say whatever you wanted. And people were like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah,
you
froze your
hand while you're fishing. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this did not go over well. So he actually makes it all the way to Olathe. I'm going to call it Olathe. Yeah, Olathe. No, I meant just Olathe.
Yeah, Olathe, yes.
Because Melissa didn't make it, but he did. So he makes it all the way there, and he's found asleep in a haystack.
Right.
Of course.
Of course he's in a haystack.
And when he's arrested, he says he's sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. In the meantime, Della and Melissa, so Melissa, the wife of, you know, Eve, and Della, the follower, who's now a widow and has lost a child, now are like, maybe he is a false prophet.
Oh,
maybe. And one thing they believed was that he was immortal, that he would never die. And so that means he can't be injured. And so when they see him injured, they're like, wait a minute. So slowly, unfortunately, Melissa, AKA Eve, starts believing her husband again. So the minute he gets back around, he's arrested. And she's charged and arrested too. They're all arrested. The kids were arrested. But slowly but surely, they just started releasing everybody, mm-hmm. which is really disturbing.
The way that I kind of figured it out was like they went to jail, and basically these people basically said, "Hey, we're sorry for what we did. We will never do it again." And the police were like, "Okay, fair enough. Let you go." Well,
women and children are still the innocents at this point in history too, is women are innocent. And I'm sure they said, "Oh, these women have just been brainwashed." You know, I mean, it has to be brainwashing, and, you know, and probably in some sorts it is, but I don't think Melissa was so innocent at all.
Right.
Willie Engel, he comes up again, and he was 19 at the time. I verified this a couple of times. They released him, and he was just as guilty with these guys, but he also lied about his age. So he was underage according to the papers. I'm like, no, he wasn't. Smart move though, you know? So he ends up working on a farm south, and he won't leave. He's visiting Melissa in jail until she gets released. So he's still in it to win it, you know? Right. And in May 1909, the only person to stand trial is James Sharp, Adam God himself. And he holds a Bible on his lap, and Melissa's with him the whole time. And he's charged with murder of the police officer. Nothing else, by the way.
Right.
This would be a federal crime today. Like, no doubt.
Yeah, oh, God, yes. You're gone for life if you do something like this today. Yeah,
I know. He's sentenced to 25 years.
Right.
In Jeff City.
Which is stunning to me back then. You murdered somebody. You murdered a police officer. And you're only sentenced to 25 years in jail?
And they were still hanging people at this point.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, that the execution was hanging. Electrocution was new. So the fact that, like, this happened and he was able to spare his life, I mean, he must be very convincing. I don't know. He also said he'd never preach again. Okay. So Melissa, she says that she's going to have to just wait that 25 years.
I'll wait it out.
Her husband, all the way to Jeff City, where she lived in a shack by the jail, made some money by washing. And Della, you know, we can't forget about Della and her children who've been literally brainwashed. Della stays in Kansas City for several years. Her kids marry. They live in the area. Her daughters marry. She lives with them. So, you know, you think, okay, this is over. At least Della, the kids turned out okay. Everything's going to be fine and, you know, whatever. But Melissa's too busy down in Jeff City. Well, he, if you can believe this, he's released in 1923, served 14 years. Got off on the rest for good behavior.
I mean, the other, and they never charged with the other murders.
None of them.
I mean, there were other murders and nothing, like 14 years the guy did for murdering people, and then got out like nothing ever happened, and went on to basically live a normal life afterwards. A very
could have lived a normal life. Could have lived. Yeah. And you would think that's the end of the story. And that's what most people would be like, oh, we got, you know, that's the end. He sentenced and you don't look into it further than that. I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna figure out what happened to this dude. Like, you know, he didn't just stop.
No, like, no.
So in 1926, by 1924, he's in Clinton, Missouri. I'm like, this is all making sense. He's in Clinton, Missouri. But I was really surprised when he makes the headlines because he says he's gonna be moving and they're gonna go homestead in Colorado. I'm like, oh God, this is sounding oddly familiar. And with them was Della. Della and one of her daughters. I don't know which one, but I'm guessing Mary.
Right.
Because Mary never married. I know Mary never married. So I'm guessing Mary was the one that was still, you know, straight as can be with this cult. So then they disappear. And 2 years later in 1926, they're living in Joplin, you know, and he's making a living as a junker. and they live in an abandoned mine pit in a hut. Well, and I was like, this is sounding better. This makes sense to me. And they had spent some time on the Missouri River again too, but they decided they weren't going to preach anymore. That's what they said. And so, you know, you got to remember, it turns out that he wasn't done preaching. He had been arrested for creeping out some kids in a school at one point. And by 1931, it became very clear he wasn't done preaching because he said he could raise the dead and that he would never die. Mm-hmm. And then he also is now street preaching in Joplin, and he becomes known for dancing a jig while he's preaching. I don't know what that would look like. And by the way, for anybody listening, you got to look up my article because you can see some pictures of these.
I'm looking at the picture right now, and I'm thinking about this guy dancing in the streets right now for everybody.
And he's old at this point. He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they end up in, you know, he said he was done. He wasn't. And then I was really surprised. I thought Della, she made it out, you know, like kids ended up having kids. And I, you know, and just to say that they, I think they turned out normal. Everything looked kosher on that end. I was a little surprised to realize by 1935, not only did Della leave her family behind and move to Joplin, she also moved behind or left her family behind to move in next door to Adam and Eve. So she's in it for the long haul.
Yes, she is.
So, yeah, unfortunately. So he's still preaching on the streets of Joplin. He called himself the Reverend. So I guess he wasn't an Adam anymore at that point. But I love this. He was dancing on the street, preaching. And in 1946, in the middle of a jig, he dies of a heart attack.
89
years old.
Which in and of itself, I mean, says a lot for the time. I mean, if you're in 1946 and you lived 89 years, people are probably looking at you like maybe you are the second coming, because who was living to 89 back then?
I know. And he lived like a hard life.
Oh, so yeah.
And you know, because we have pictures of him. There aren't very many, but I was able to locate some. It was not easy to find, but he looked old. 25 years before this.
Well, yeah, it's not like he was living a posh lifestyle at 55th and Ward Parkway or something. This guy was living in huts and hay bales and mine shafts and dirt and jail. And he lived to 89 years old. I got to be honest, this guy's 89. I'm thinking maybe he is. Maybe he is the second coming. Maybe he really is Adam. I mean, how could you live this long and live the life of shot in the hands a number of times?
I know. Like, well, and what's interesting, one of the things that he made the headlines when he died, because, you know, and I love the quip. It was like, turns out he's not immortal after all. But you know what's interesting is I'm looking at it, no kids are mentioned.
Yeah.
So Lee, I can say this, and I don't know about the other kid, but Lee, who was at one point the best preacher in the whole wide world at 11 years old, he was not involved in the Adam God riot in Kansas City. He was living somewhere else, and I don't think he ever step foot back in Missouri or Oklahoma. He ended up dying in the 1970s out in California. So he and had a family and didn't change his name or anything, but in general, like, and there's no mention of him in the obituary that tells me everything I need to know. So Melissa, Della, both widows now, living in Joplin, okay, and living next door to each other for many years, because, you know, 1946 is when Adam passed away, aka, you know, James Sharp. And I thought, oh, that's got to be the end. No. When I was tracking Willie, our epileptic guy who lied about his age so he didn't get charged with anything, Willie had moved out to Seattle. And all of a sudden, by, the 1950s, he moved to Joplin and was living by these girls. I'm like, oh my God, the cult survived all of these years. I can't believe it. So Melissa dies, if you can believe this, at 95 years old.
Again, insane. You got to think they're the second coming, right?
No. I'm extremely lucky on age, or maybe put here to teach us a really good lesson. Yeah, 1966, she dies at 95. And 1 year later, Della, next door neighbor, cult leader, cult fantastico with her children and everything else, and her dead husband in Kansas City who's shot 3 times, dies at 90 later.
Amazing. 89, 95, and 90.
Yep. Neither of their deaths were mentioned in the paper. I was really hoping there'd be something, just nothing. But I mean, it doesn't even matter. Like, it's mind-boggling that this actually happened. This actually happened.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.